Good afternoon to all of you. It's good to be in the personal sense. My daughter and son-in-law here and two great granddaughters. We're thankful that we can all be together. Speaking of granddaughters, both of them really enjoy pets, and they get out and they've had too many hamsters, dogs, they've had worms. They are not allowed to have ants as pets. But one of the things they've had as a pet is a centipede. And they keep it in a little box. And the other day, they were talking about taking the centipede with them here to church. Because they thought, well, this would be a good thing. And so today, they opened the box a little bit and said, how would you like to go to church with us today? And nothing came back from the centipede. So they said, well, you know, you should go to church with us today. Have some lunch with us and enjoy the day. And still nothing. So finally, Maggie, the more vocal of the two, says, you should go to church today. Now, we want you to get ready. And a voice came out of the box. The centipede replies, I heard you the first time. I'm putting on my shoes. Well, I want you to put on your shoes in some ways today and walk with me through the Bible to see what it says about healing. There's some very clear instructions, and most of us have had opportunity to read what the half-brother of Christ, James, says about healing. It's in chapter 5, James chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Now, I know we can shorten what it says to a smaller group of verses or a verse, but I want you to see the context. It says, James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? And sometimes we do have hardships. Well, if that's the case, let him pray. And certainly there are times when we should pray for the hardships that we're in, local diseases, colds, maybe it's a light flu. Perhaps it's a grumbling stomach from what we ate. He also goes on to say, is any merry among you? Are there any people that are happy, cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And that is said in the colloquialism of saying, if you're happy, talk to people about what's going right in your life. Be an encourager. 14. Is any sick among you? So I want you to transpose this as something or compare it to the previous verse, being afflicted. Now we're talking about someone that is sick. And it doesn't tell you what the sickness is. But if you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up if he has committed sins, if he has committed sins, and they shall be forgiven him. Well, we all have something that goes wrong in life. There are times of happiness and cheerfulness. There's times when we're exuberant, things have gone well, but also there's personal experiences we go through, and we go through health problems. I have had my personal share of them. I can remember going back to those days when Mr. Chuck and I were in Pennsylvania, and I was pastoring the congregation more in the center of the state. There was a time when in a period of that time, I had five women come to me on different occasions to be anointed for cancer. And every time, those five women were healed. Now that goes back sometime into the 70s, but indeed that's the case. I remember a man who created and had a patent on a machine, a sickle sharpener, and he had a heart problem. And he asked me to pray for him and to anoint him, and he was healed for that. Along life's path, I've also been involved with home health care. And Joy and I had two establishments where we took care of elderly people. Sometimes, because of what they knew about me and what they knew about me through Joy, they would ask me to pray. I remember particular times, the two that I would mention to you today, where a lady of Mormon background asked me to pray for her, and she was healed of the affliction, the sickness that she had at that time. She wasn't baptized. She was a Mormon, LDS. I remember another case where a woman asked me to pray for her mother, who had been rushed to the hospital in Scottsdale. And so I knelt, and she asked me to anoint her, and I did. And the woman came out of the hospital while she was expected to perish there. Now, in those two circumstances, and even going back to the five and to the one, the man in Nebraska, the matter was of faith, belief, a matter of heart. It wasn't a matter of having gone through all the rudiments, of having read all kinds of material and read the Bible back and forth, looked at all the things that we might believe. Now this clock says 2:38. I started speaking when it was 2:33. You sermonette men take count that is the maximum that you speak when you're giving a sermonette. 15 minutes is the cutoff. You need to sit down when you reach that point. Mr. Tuck asked me to explain that to you. Is that good enough? Children, when they're anointed, have no experience with baptism. But children don't doubt. Their minds haven't been filled with all kinds of prejudice and wonderment. You say to them, God will heal you when you're anointed, and they believe you. It's important that you look at the subject of faith in your life. And while you look at faith, it's important to also remember eventually you will die. Generally, we anoint people anytime they ask us to. But neither of, and I believe all the elders here, haven't anointed your car. We don't anoint cars. We don't anoint you for your job issues. Now, we'll pray about those things. But there is a difference. And sometimes we don't think about there's a difference. As this verse 13 says, there's sometimes when you are afflicted, you have an affliction, you have a problem. An old man was wondering if his wife was having a hearing problem. So one night he stood behind her while she was sitting in her lounge chair and spoke softly to her. There was no response. He moved a little closer and said it again. Honey, can you hear me? Still, no response. Finally, he moved right behind her and said, Honey, can you hear me? And she replied, For the third time, yes. Who had the hearing problem? And it's important that you do not have a hearing problem about the simplicity of James 5. We come up with all kinds of things. Green juice. Vitamin C until it's coming out your ears. Do what you want to do. And there are many things that we do. But don't become a preacher of it. Become an evidence of faith that you believe in God and that He will heal you. You see, we are born with strengths and sometimes we're born with weaknesses, and some of us are born with both. At some point, we all suffer some injury, some illness. Perhaps you have an inherited disposition to some physical problem or ailment. But one thing we all have in common is the aging process. We all have that in common. I found this in Psalm 103, the first five verses of Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Somewhat similar to our hymns today. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle's. But eventually the eagles run away. What things you have? What do you have to do then when you're dealing with personal health problems? What is the thought that you should consider? Now, I can, considering this sermon, just a primer on the subject of healing. It's a beginning place. It isn't all that one could exhaust itself with talking. And I don't mean to cover every question that you will have. How did the whole thing start? Well, let's look in Genesis chapter 3. How did all of this about healing start? We see in verse 16, Genesis 3, verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you'll break forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he will be a tyrant over you. He said to Adam, because you listened unto the voice of your wife, and you've eaten of the tree with which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat, you're cursed, and the ground is cursed. You're going to have sorrow, and you're going to have a problem for the rest of your life. Thorns and thistles, that's what you're going to have to deal with in the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return into the ground, for out of it were you taken, dust you are, and to dust shall you return. Now, returning to the dust does hurt sometimes. But it is during that time that you can ask God for mercy through anointing. And yet there's times when it hurts and it's just something you're going to decide, I'm going to live through this. But when you look at this scripture, what it is telling us in a nut God and mankind became alienated. They didn't have things in common anymore. We didn't have a relationship with God there. We didn't have relationships of the proper mind with each other in marriage and in family. Perfect world and perfect nature from that very beginning. Yet when we go to Exodus 15, the song of Moses, Exodus 15, towards the end, verse 26, he said, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and will give ear to his commands and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. God is reintroducing himself to mankind there through all of the previous chapters there in Exodus. He gives us the idea and hopes that we'll follow through with obedience so that these relationships, our understanding of our Creator, and our understanding of a good nature and a better world can be understood. Now that better world we start to realize through the keeping of the holy days. And as God reintroduced himself to us, he told us that one of his names that is translated there from the Hebrew is Yahweh Rafika. I am your healer. God, your healer. And if you need healing, it is something coming from God. And yet there's times when we ask for healing and nothing comes forward. Why healing? Well, God does not want to be separate from us if we will be obedient to him. He wants his creation to understand their future. So I think it's important that we remark to ourselves, God does heal. I mentioned some situations from my past. You can think about something where God has healed you or another. And when we look at the subject from the words of Christ in Mark chapter 2, first 12 verses. We'll see that healing is a gift through Jesus Christ. He went into Capernaum after some days. It was noise that he was in the house. And so many gathered together. There was no room to receive all those that wanted to come through the door. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four people carrying him. And when they could not come in, they uncovered the roof where he was, and they had this fellow let down in the bed where he was sick of the palsy and was lame. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, your sins be forgiven you. Now the scribes sitting there reasoned in their hearts, is he blaspheming? How can this man forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, he asked them, why are you thinking this? Is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, your sins be forgiven you, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? That you may know that the Son of Man has power over earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, arise, take up your bed, and go your way into your house. And that happened. Christ does forgive sins, and sometimes, not at all times, he does heal us. Now we find, having just read in James 5, and I reiterated for you with some strength in my voice, that if you have committed sins, they'll be forgiven you. That is what is most important, isn't it? The forgiveness of our sins. What is most important to us is simply not having health and no future. Future is very important. Now we make a mistake in our congregations equating sometimes healing does not always equate to righteousness. Yet amongst us we'll sometimes make that statement to others, certainly sometimes privately to ourselves. You might remember Elisha in 2 Kings 13. A man of God who dies of sickness. He was ill. Mankind had been told years before, if you follow me, you will not die. But mankind did die. And Elisha died. In 2 Kings chapter 20, Hezekiah was said, get yourself prepared for the end of your days, put your house in order, you're going to die. He turned his face to the wall and prayed, and God gave him 15 more years. I should ask my wife how many years she asked God to give me when I died. That'd be a good question. In 2 Chronicles chapter 21, there's a man named Jehoram, king of Israel. And uniquely, as an aside, Jehoram is also a name of a king of Judah in the same time frame. And so when you read through the story, make sure you know whether you're talking about Israel or Judah. There we find Jehoram dying because he did very bad things. He died as a curse had been placed on them. He married the wife of Ahab. He brought paganism into his nation. Sometimes people do have health problems because they are not following God's instructions. In these three examples, I hope you can see that you can't say, well, he died because he wasn't following God. That doesn't make sense. Elijah lived and died, and he was a man of God. With healing. But healing and illness, or being healed from illness, does demonstrate faith. And that is what you want to do when you're ill. You want to demonstrate faith. In Luke 17, verses 5 through 6, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. You remember that scripture, I'm sure. Luke 17, verse 5. Increase our faith. And then it says in verse 6, and the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamore tree, be plucked by the roots and planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And so they wanted to increase their faith. You and I don't have enough faith. You don't and I don't. But we have an understanding of faith. And your understanding of faith might be different than my understanding of faith. As Christ wouldn't condemn anyone in his day and age, how could I condemn you or you condemn me? That's not what it's about. It's about you and your faith and belief in your Maker. It's intensely personal. Now there's, by this example, the leaders that God was selecting, asking for faith and understanding that that was something to be considered. They consider the potential in you and I, we consider the potential. In Romans 14, verse 23, there's a little phrase that we sometimes remember. If it's not of faith, it's sin. If not of faith, it's sin. As you and I meditate on that verse, you'll see that there's something that we can understand. Faith is directed up, believing God and His purpose for you. My mother died, my father died. Godly people, from my view, my mother suffered tremendously for decades. Pain, sometimes they were conquered. Other times they weren't. My dad died at 93. The senior of my mother's age, who died at 73. Who do you know that died old, died young? One time my mother had a disease when I was in fourth grade called erysipelas. It's a disease of the brain and very high fever. And it's very contagious. She ran such a high fever, she lost all of her hair. She had something in common with Scott. She wore hats or scarves. That's when she got well. But while she was so intensely sick, and highly able to contagious state, Mrs. Romer, Earl Romer's mother, came to our house every day, fixed our food, and nursed my mom. And mom got well, and Mrs. Romer never got sick. I can only put that down to faith. What is not of faith is sin. Faith is directed up believing God. Sin is looking on yourself and others. When you look at yourself and others, you come up with four things: vanity, jealousy, lust, and greed. All the human issues that we try to push aside. Now, there are times when we're sick and illness is there. Our faith is sure. And following this injunction, we might turn to Acts 19, verses 11 and 12 and see there's an illustration that we can use at what we call an anointed cloth. And here is that illustration of faith, looking up in belief, because the cloth can do nothing. Or the cloth and apply it as instructed. It says in Acts 19, verse 11, God worked special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out from them. And so we have an anointed cloth that we send to people, and generally, if they're unskilled in the knowledge, we'll send a letter out like this with it, and gives you some instruction. If you've been receiving letters like this for years and years and know what it says, we might jot a little note to you, and it might just be get well kind of a note. I do that sometimes. But the anointing takes place using some olive oil. We try to use as best a good quality of oil, symbolizing this event. And we want then for a person to believe in faith they will be healed. They might be requesting it for their children. Now in the book of Matthew, let's look at chapter 9. Matthew 9. In this chapter, there are three illustrations of faith, as it is an adjoining faith with the need for healing. The first one's in verse 2, that one that we read about, the man sick with the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven you. It's important to realize that the man that had the palsy was either incapacitated or asleep or something. Anyhow, it was the faith of the individuals who were caring for him. And you might be in a state of unconsciousness and someone wants you to be better and what's going on. And that's one of the illustrations here. The next one is in verses 20 through 22. 9:20, 9 verse 20, behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, touched the hem of his skirt, her garment. For she said within herself, if I but touch his garment, I'll be whole. When Jesus turned about, he saw her. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. A very distinct comment from our Christ, who is a forgiver of sins, that says, your faith. It's important that you understand that faith. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Personal faith. The last illustration of faith is in verses 27, 8, and 9. And when Jesus departed there, two blind men follow him, crying, saying, you son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, believe you that I am able to do this? Do you have faith? And they said to him, yes, Lord. That was real faith. He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And that's a very important remark, according to your faith. And yet you may not have a deficit in faith, and you may not be healed. These are things that we live with. We will die. Sometimes questions arise about trusting God compared to using the medical profession or holistic approaches or natural approaches, various things. It's a personal choice. You might have your favorite thing, and maybe your favorite thing is only anointing and believing in God. Many of you have a car. I have a car. I take my car when it needs a mechanic to Cactus Automotive. Vietnamese guys who I've been using for years, even before I left the area for that hiatus in Florida and the Caribbean. They know Toyotas. They know Hondas, they know Mercedes, and they are good, and they can fix it fast. They're so good that my Honda just turned 300,000 miles, and I used a half a quart of oil between oil changes this last time. I like those guys, and so I take my car there. You might compare whether or not you go to anybody for help is where do you take your car? Well, you take your broken body to the best doctor you can find. That's your choice. Condemnation is not your choice. Christ wouldn't take that position, and neither should you. Don't condemn someone for what they decide they're going to do. And don't try to teach them your policies and politics. It's not the right thing to do. What's important to do is lift each other up in faith. So as we come to conclusion, we look again at James 5, verses 13 through 15. There are 10 particular declarative statements that can be seen here. One starts in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Sometimes we suffer, and we suffer in different ways. It might be job, it might be health, it might be too many oranges on the tree. We have all kinds of things that we suffer with. Two, the next statement, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. There are times when we are happy. Things are going wonderful. Do you need some oranges? The third declarative statement starts in verse 14. Is any among you sick? Now, it doesn't define sick. That's your job. You decide how sick you need to be considering what follows, or if you just are suffering and you can suffer right through it. The fourth statement, let him call for the elders of the church. Now, some try to make that sound like you can talk to anybody that's an old guy in the congregation. That's not what it says. It talks about the church, an elder that's in the church that is understanding the way that the congregations of God have always been led. How God established the anointing with oil and hands being laid on them. From Old Testament times into the New Testament times. Someone that has been passed on that responsibility, that prerogative, that authority. That is who you go to. If you don't know who that is, then you can't go to anyone. If you know who that is, you go to someone who understands that hands have been laid on them to perform certain positional situations in the church, like anointing, and you let them do the job. You put them under yourself. You put yourself under them You submit to their authority. So it's important that you understand that heritage. There was a farmer who was very lonely. Wyoming's a lonely place, so he put a personal column ad in the paper. It said this: farmer seeks lady with tractor, with view to companionship and possible marriage. Please send picture of tractor. Point. Who do you want companionship with, and who do you hope to marry, as mentioned in Revelation? If you understand submission from those perspectives and understand submission, loving submission and guidance within the congregations of God, then you understand who you should submit to for anointing, if you make that choice. Statement number 5, and let them pray over him. That is the established directive to the one doing the anointing. Pray. A prayer is a request. Statement 6, anointing him with oil. I spent some time with you in Matthew 9. If you go back to the previous chapter 8, you'll see the example of the centurion who said, Lord, I am one under authority, and if you say the word, I believe it will happen. That's whatever you say, that's what I will do. That I grew up understanding authority. I'm a Roman centurion. I understand. If you say it, it will happen. I submit to your authority. I honor you as the leader. Anointing him with oil is statement 6 that I just mentioned. Statement 7, in the name of the Lord. And so it's by the authority of Jesus Christ. The saying that while you are submitting, it is to the office of Jesus Christ, which is employed by the person that you are submitting to. In our society, and it creeps into the church, this word submission has no possible use. It doesn't work out there. It has to work within the family of God, though. And so we do it in the name of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, our soon coming High Priest, our Lord and Master. And then the 8th statement starts with verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Salvation is what it's all about. And you might die, but if your faith is strong, your salvation is what's important. People die in the faith, as we say. Statement 9. The Lord will raise him up. And so it is all about salvation. Not just being out of the sick bed, but out of the grave. Ten, the last statement. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. May not be sinful. Maybe. Maybe not. Well, this isn't meant to answer every question, but it is a balanced approach, I hope, to the topic of healing. It's a start. I trust this primer gives you directions for further study. And this is how long a sermon should be.